From Indianapolis and 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Taylor Bennett, and this is your WFYI Weekly News Roundup. A six-hour protest to save old-growth trees in Indianapolis ended this week with cheers and applause. As WFYI's Drew Dottolin reports, lawyers for the Indiana Forest Alliance say that the federal project to build an urn enclosure for veterans at Crown Hill Cemetery has been put on hold.
You won. You can go get warm now.
About 20 protesters huddled together in the cold at Crown Hill North Woods Monday afternoon. Some stood on the side of the nearby road, but others found a way onto the federally owned property. Lori Perdue is a 48-year-old Air Force veteran and started protesting at 6:30 a.m. I spoke to Perdue through the chain-link fence she climbed to get inside.
As a veteran, I felt like it was my responsibility to stand here and say, no, I don't want this resource to be gone. I don't want this beautiful place to disappear. This is why I took an oath. These are the things we're supposed to protect.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs bought the land last year to build a columbarium, a structure that holds urns. The Indiana Forest Alliance has led protests to save the old-growth trees on the site, which it estimates to be over 400 years old. At around 1 p.m., Forest Alliance attorney Russell Sipes made this announcement to the protesters.
This morning, the Veterans Administration, the National Cemetery Administration, decided to issue a stop work order. It's until further notice.
Sipes says the VA told him they will reach out to protesters and that work on the project won't begin until those talks happen. The VA could not be reached for comment. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Drew Dodlin.
A coalition of groups is pressuring lawmakers to revive legislation that would allow judges to impose tougher sentences for crimes motivated by factors such as a person's race, religion, sexual orientation, or gender identity.
Indiana is one of only five states without some kind of hate crimes law, and advocates like David Sklar of the Jewish Community Relations Council say it's time to change that.
We are seeing bias-motivated crimes happening in Indiana almost on a weekly basis. We have had bomb threats at our Jewish community centers, a bullet fired through the window of an Evansville synagogue, targeting of members of African American community, LGBTQ community, the Muslim community. All of that has happened in Indiana just in the last 18 months or so.
The bill would have allowed judges to impose tougher sentences for crimes motivated by factors including race, religion, sexual orientation, or gender identity. But it faced opposition from conservative lawmakers and sponsor Republican Senator Sue Glick decided not to move it forward after amendments, she says, would have gutted the bill's intent. Sklar says the coalition is looking for a way to add the bias crimes language to some other criminal justice bill this session. For 90.1 WFYI News, I'm Michelle Johnson.
The IMPD Flex Task Force will be getting some new mountain bikes thanks to a partnership with Downtown Indy. Bob Schultz is with Downtown Indy.
These are specifically for the Flex unit, which for downtown addresses homelessness and works with our social service community as well to get them into spaces and places that cars and perhaps even the everyday patrol bikes are unable to access.
He says the goal of the project is adding another tool to reach out to the homeless.
To assist them with the services that they need to get them off this path of homelessness and to introduce a new tool to provide better access for our Flex team.
There will be detachable bags on the back of the bikes that allows the officers to carry medical supplies to help as many homeless people as possible. Two independent agencies have determined the Indiana Division of Forestry meets or exceeds sustainability standards. Now, this is the 10th year in a row for a positive designation from the auditing agencies.
Every year, the Sustainable Forest Initiative and the Forest Stewardship Council send auditors to the state forests to evaluate how they're managed. They look at a long list of criteria, like the Division of Forestry strategic plan, how much the forest is harvested for timber sales, and forest worker safety. Division of Forestry Director John Seifert says they initiated the yearly audits 10 years ago, even though they aren't mandatory.
To have someone outside the state of Indiana kind of give us an overview of our compliance with environmental laws, environmental oversight, make sure we're in compliance with best management practices on the state forest system.
Seifert says they haven't significantly changed their management program since the audits began.
And it just sort of verifies that what we've been telling the public, we've done a pretty good job. There's always room for improvement, and that's what it's all about, is taking the best science and getting public input and then managing the forest long term.
For the 2016 reports, auditors spent 4 days in Yellowwood, Morgan Monroe, Owen Putnam, and Green Sullivan State Forests. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Becca Costello.
You're listening to WFYI's Weekly News Roundup. I'm Taylor Bennett. A small group of people in addiction recovery are benefiting from a type of therapy that they've never tried before. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Jill Sheridan reports that so far the results are encouraging.
Not everyone that comes through the doors makes it as a therapist.
We do a 60-day trial and then 30 days just with the instructors and everything, and then another 30 days with...
11 horses that did make it are now working with program director Linda Hazard at Agape Therapeutic Riding in rural north central Indiana. Hazard says equine-assisted therapy for addiction focuses on skill development like improving communication, patience, self-confidence, and assertiveness.
And you're not going to change behavior overnight. You're not going to change behavior in 16 weeks, actually. But what you're going to change is to have them start thinking, and how can I go about this in a little different manner? And that's how they're going to stay in recovery.
Residents come to the 16-week program through a nonprofit in Indianapolis.
It's all about behavior and accountability.
Progress House helps men in recovery with counseling services and temporary housing. Dennis Norris is its new executive director. Norris is a veteran, and when he came home from Afghanistan, he worked with horses.
I was just an angry jerk most of the time. And if you're an angry jerk with a 1,500-pound animal, you're going to have a really bad day. So I learned how to calm myself down and to trust the animal, to trust myself. We all did. We all did it together.
When he took his new role at Progress House, Norris immediately thought this type of program could help some of the residents, and he reached out to Agape and Linda Hazard to see if they could start with 10 men.
And she said, you know, that's fine, but I want 10 of your worst guys. I want 10 guys that you think aren't going to make it. And I said, okay, well, don't be surprised if you get, you know, a different group every couple of weeks, because they'll drop like flies. What are we at, Rich? 7 weeks?
We're at 6 weeks. We have 10 weeks left, and we still have all of the original 9 guys.
Yeah. 9 men ended up enrolling. Program manager Rich Stover and Norris are participating in the equine program with them. Stover has been here for 3 years after being a resident. He was arrested in 2012.
You know, I was a big-time user. I was caught with an amount of drugs that they considered a dealing amount, but I considered a daily usage.
He struck a plea deal and finished a drug recovery program at Progress House. He says his recovery was successful with the help of the people around him.
The staff and the structure and the men I lived here with, you know, the unwritten asset at Progress House are the residents.
It's week 7 of the 16-week program at Agape, and the lesson is teamwork. There's no riding with this type of therapy. Instead, the men are given a task on the skill they're trying to develop. In the ring, the men are working with Duke and Smarty. This week, Hazard has tasked them to move objects, themselves and the horses, from one side of the ring to the other without getting washed away in an imaginary river.
Here is what you do in your life. They have come a long ways.
Woo! Bill Williamson is at Progress House for the third time and says this time, working with the horses has really helped him.
I've learned how to open up a lot more, and the ability to use resources that we never thought we had, and they're right there in front of us, you know, the whole time.
Resources like family, friends, therapy, and support groups. Hazard says it can be eye-opening.
It makes them sit back and think about, why am I doing certain things? What's the payback for not showing up in my life? Once you answer those questions, you can't stay with your addiction.
Progress House is hoping to find funding to establish the program on a long-term basis.
You're almost there, Joe.
For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Jill Sheridan.
There's been strong interest in Indianapolis' oldest surviving White Castle building. Indiana Landmarks bought the building from the city and announced this month that it was up for sale. Landmarks' Mark DeLossi.
We've just been contacted by numerous parties, well over 20 at this point, that are interested in putting an end use to the property. We heard everything from restaurants to office to studio type space. So we're hearing different kinds of potential uses.
He says there's no price tag on the building yet.
right now I'm in the process of securing a commercial broker to go by and give us an estimate on what they believe it should be marketed at. So we don't have a price yet, and that's kind of what we're doing at this point. But once we get that set, we'll let all the parties know, and then we can entertain offers at that point.
It opened as a White Castle in 1927, and it's believed to be the third oldest building constructed by the national chain. It will always be protected as an historic structure.
As small as it is, it's one of the best protected properties in Indiana, because not only does it have our protection, but also that of the city, because it's in the St. Joseph Historic District, which is designated by the Indianapolis Historic Preservation Commission. So it's also protected through the city as well.
The building has been used as a real estate office and a National Guard recruiting center. Historic Landmarks would like to see some sense of activity return to the building that brings new life to the St. Joe neighborhood.
In other words, if it's something that attracts people, brings new life for that part of the downtown area, we think that would be most attractive. And, you know, this property did come to us from the state of Indiana to the city. And I think those two parties would share that view, that they would like to see a revitalization of the St. Joe neighborhood and the kind of north part of the downtown area. So if we can find a use that brings that vibrancy back, you know, we would love that.
Located at 660 Fort Wayne Avenue, it occupies an oddly shaped lot at the three-way intersection of Delaware, Walnut, and Fort Wayne Avenue. This is the Weekly News Roundup on WFYI. The newest You Are There experience at the Indiana History Center takes visitors to a time and place that many Indianapolis area residents might like to forget. The latest exhibit is a recreation of the 1943 Italian prisoners of war and the chapel that they built at Camp Atterbury. Dan Shockley and the History Center crew started work on the experience 2 years ago, not knowing how timely it would be.
In 1943, 75 years ago, our nation was grappling with who belongs here and who doesn't. We had Japanese internment camps, and that is kind of a stain on our record. But here we are talking about who doesn't belong in America now, and who we want to leave and who we don't want to let in.
3,000 Italian POWs were held at Camp Atterbury, where they built and decorated a chapel that still stands today. Shockley says that the story of war, home, and belonging is important for all ages.
We have conversations in our You Are There experiences. We don't have presentations or performances. It really is the actor and the guest really creating their own experience together each and every time.
The 1943 Italian POWs at Camp Atterbury experience runs through August of next year. Lawmakers in Washington are still trying to figure out how exactly to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Side Effects Public Media's Jay Carper reports that the latest GOP plan, the American Health Care Act, has mental health and substance use treatment providers worried.
Obamacare forced Medicaid plans to cover mental health and substance use treatment. It also expanded Medicaid to millions of poor people, including about 260,000 Hoosiers. Doug Walter of the American Psychological Association says many of those people really need mental health treatment.
These are the patients that are at high risk for domestic violence, substance abuse, untreated psychiatric conditions. It goes on and on and on.
But Walter says those improvements will be rolled back under the GOP's new proposal. A recent report from the Congressional Budget Office says millions of people could lose their coverage under the American Health Care Act. Not only that, but the law would not require Medicaid to cover mental health and substance use treatment. Walter says with the feds paying a smaller portion of Medicaid costs,
it comes down to, do states have the ability to actually pay for these services? And I would say that many don't.
The bill is currently facing criticism from both sides of the aisle, and it's still unclear how it might change before it makes it to the president's desk. Jay Carper, Side Effects Public Media.
Thousands and thousands of people are expected to descend on downtown Indianapolis this weekend. The city is hosting the first and second rounds of the NCAA men's tournament and also St. Patrick's Day activities. Chris Gall is with Visit Indy.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be a busy weekend. Our hotels are virtually sold out downtown Indianapolis, and that's causing compression out into the perimeter hotels. And when it's all said and done, we would anticipate 80 to 90,000 people to be in and around the downtown, soaking up the sights, the activity, and generating a healthy amount of economic impact for the capital city.
He says they want to make sure that the city shines this weekend to make sure that visitors come back again and again.
We know that there's a high ratio to people who visit for the first time and then they come back as a repeat visitor. And that's what we really strive for, is someone coming to Indianapolis with family, with friends. They have a great time, a great experience, no matter if their team wins or loses, and that they come back.
In addition to the basketball games, the city has the Irish Bug and will have a St. Patrick's Day parade and a block party. There's also the Blarney Bash and the Shamrock Run. A new website is helping direct unused food away from landfills and onto the shelves of Indianapolis's food banks. The website allows truckers hauling loads of unwanted food to find the food banks where they can donate those loads. John Whitaker is executive director of the Indianapolis-based Midwest Food Bank. He says duplicate loads of produce are sometimes rejected by grocers or distributors. Steve Gillian will be the first IU Health patient to receive a heart transplant through the Heart in a Box trial. It's where the donor heart can essentially be placed into a device along with the donor's blood and continue pumping during the transportation to the heart recipient. IU Health is the only healthcare system in Indiana and only one of eight in the nation participating in the trial. This is the weekly news roundup on 90.1 WFYI. I'm Taylor Bennett. Internationally acclaimed jazz artist Gary Burton, who was born and raised in Anderson, returns to Indiana tonight to play two shows at the Jazz Kitchen in Broad Ripple. The multi-Grammy Award winner plans to retire after tonight's shows. NPR's Jazz Night in America will record the program for future broadcast. WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer talked with the host of that show, Christian McBride, about Burton's music and retirement.
To know that this is going to be his sort of farewell concert, this is, I'm not going to believe it.
Because I didn't think musicians ever really retired.
Me either. I mean, you know, I see, first of all, Gary is much too great of a musician. I think what's going to happen, he's going to stay at home for about 6 months, and then all of a sudden he's going to start itching to get back on the vibes, and he's going to say, what have I done? Let me go back out and book a tour.
You're probably correct in that.
Well, come on, Gary, don't leave us. We need you.
He is a vibraphonist and plays the vibraphone. What is that instrument?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that question, because you have to start with explaining of just what it is. It's just to make it a little oversimplistic, this is really bad, but this will at least give the layperson some reference. It's sort of like the xylophone with a pedal on it, with a sustain pedal. You know, people see the vibraphone in clubs or in performances, and they go, "Oh, he plays the bells," and then you sit there and you just go, "Oh, Jesus!" But the official name of that wonderful percussion instrument, with these tuned bars that sustain and make these sort of these beautiful airborne sounds, is the vibraphone. And when you look at the list of virtuoso vibraphonists in the history of jazz, the list isn't nearly as long as it would be for trumpet or saxophone or piano or bass or drums. It's a short list. So Gary Burton is one of the, he's easily on the Mount Rushmore of legendary vibraphonists.
Well, and I know with his quartet, he has a bass player and with the drum and the guitar, but he's also spent a lot of time with piano players. Why does the vibraphone and the piano meld together so beautifully?
When you think of his collaborations, particularly with Chick Corea, that particular pairing, those two together have been one of the greatest the sound that that duo creates, I think, has been one of the greatest sounds in the history of jazz. So I don't know what it is about the vibes and the piano, but you really do get the sense that you're being lifted. Just the sound, the lushness of the way that the bars of the vibraphone meld with the piano is just such a beautiful, beautiful sound.
And you said you have had the pleasure of performing with him as well.
Yes. It was just 2 years ago with the Mack Avenue Super Band. I spoke to Pat Metheny on the phone. Pat and I keep in touch quite a bit, and Pat says, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. I said, what's going to happen? He says, when the tour starts, he said, how long is the tour? I said, it's basically about 4 months. He said, okay, Gary's going to start out great, and by the third month of the tour, your jaw is going to be hanging on the floor, because it's going to be amazing to see a guy who's already great get greater. And Pat said, I never understood how he has this thing that just, the more he plays, it just gets scarier and scarier by the day. And there's actually proof of this. There's a YouTube clip of the Mack Avenue Super Band playing at the Detroit Jazz Festival in the summer of 2014. You know, when we played that gig in Detroit, you could say Gary Burton was a Ferrari. But by the time we got 3 months into that tour, he was a jet propulsion Aston Martin decked out with titanium, you know, pipes. And I mean, it was just like amazing to watch how a great musician could just get greater by the day. So, and then he has this great sense of humor, like it's not a big deal. You know, this man will play the crap out of the vibes and then just kind of look at you and smile and be like, oh, it was nothing. You know, so what a great spirit Gary is.
Jazz Night in America plans to broadcast the Gary Burton performance in June. You've been listening to the WFYI Weekly News Roundup. You can get the latest local news online anytime at our website, wfyi.org. Stay tuned for Indiana Lawmakers.